and make your dinners. They'll even do it for you. So sign up at dinnersready.com, stop by and see them in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove, or give them a call at 645-9100. That's 645-9100. Dinner's ready!
Well, Mr. Tomato, how are you looking to make the most of your career in entertainment?
Well, I'm locally grown and people love me. But now that the Monterey County Fair has this countywide chili cook-off and salsa contest, I don't know. I've heard that great chili and salsa sings. So, I've been practicing. Listen. One ton tomato. I'd be a one ton tomato.
It's one ton tomato. Besides, the Monterey County Fair doesn't need you to sing. They've got great musical entertainment. Monterey County Fair welcomes the public from August 15th to the 20th. Visit www.montereycountyfair.com.
Do you have a living trust? Lawyers on Duty is offering a living trust package for just $995. If you're single, only $895. Give your loved ones. Continue in a moment here on the Peter B. Collins Show. KRXA 540. Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Monta Vista Wine and Spirits in Monterey has everything you need, from high-end liquor to the very best in fine wines. It's the real deal. Family-owned for over 40 years, John will give you one-on-one personal attention, just like family. Have a special request? Not a problem. Open every day from 9 to 9. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits is located on Soledad Drive in Monta Vista Village, near the Del Monte Center. Look for Doug Huckleberry, who greets you at the door. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits wants you to please drink responsibly.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Well, Mr. Tomato, how are you looking to make the most of your career in entertainment?
Well, I'm locally grown and people love me. But now that the Monterey County Fair has this countywide chili cook-off and salsa contest, I don't know. I've heard that great chili and salsa sings. So, I've been practicing. Listen. One ton tomato. I'd be a one ton tomato.
It's one ton tomato. Besides, the Monterey County Fair doesn't need you to sing. They've got great musical entertainment. Monterey County Fair welcomes the public from August 15th to the 20th. Visit www.montereycountyfair.com.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. My guest right now is Carl Safina. He's the author of a fascinating new book called Voyage of the Turtle, In Pursuit of the Earth's Last Dinosaur. As he mentioned, the dinosaur reference is metaphorical. And
And, Carl, I got a news release just last week after you and I had agreed to talk on the program today. And it says that today, over 230 scientists from 39 countries have submitted a letter to the National Marine Fisheries Service urging them to keep an important leatherback conservation area in place along the California and Oregon coastlines. In addition, 45 environmental organizations and over 4,000 public comments opposing the plan have been received by the agency during their comment period, which closes on August the 10th. So that's behind us now. What is this about? It's about the way that turtles get caught up in the factory fishing, netting, and other trawling systems. Is that right?
This one is about drift netting. Mm-hmm. And most people think that drift netting was banned, but only drift nets over a certain size were banned, only over 2.5 miles long. So although, believe it or not, that is considered a small drift net because they used to be 30 or 40 miles long, but there still are people working out of California using drift nets, and they kill turtles. Those nets do drown turtles. So certain areas were closed as a way of trying to strike a compromise between letting these guys continue to fish and trying to not kill these leatherback turtles, which in the Pacific Ocean have declined very precipitously in the last 20 years, with declines ranging from 50 to 95%.
Yeah, it says here the number of nesting female Pacific leatherbacks has declined by 95% in the last 20 years.
Yeah, that's true in the populations that nest in Mexico and Central America. The population that visits the California waters, believe it or not, are turtles that hatch and go back and breed in New Guinea and the Solomon Islands, and they swim directly across the Pacific Ocean between those extremely distant breeding areas and these feeding areas along the Central California and Oregon coasts.
Mm-hmm.
Those populations have declined not as much, but by at least half, probably somewhere between half and 80%.
So we have a leatherback conservation area along the central coast of California. It covers 180,000 square miles from Monterey Bay to the mid-Oregon coast. And for the last 5 years, this area has been closed to drift gillnet fishery each year from August 15th to November 15th to protect these critically endangered Pacific leatherback sea turtles. So I'm glad to see that effort and appreciate you explaining to me. Also, explain to our listeners what a TED is.
TED, T-E-D, stands for Turtle Excluder Device. It's a device that is put in a trawl net, and a trawl net is a big bag-shaped net that is dragged through the water, usually dragged along the seafloor. And the TED is basically a metal grate that allows the fish or the shrimp to go through the grate and into the end of the net, but the turtle hits the grate and then goes out a loose flap of netting that's kind of like a trap door.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a way to prevent turtles from drowning. It's an extremely important innovation, and it has resulted in turtles on the East Coast and in the Gulf of Mexico and all the ones that breed throughout the Caribbean and northern South America. Those are all increasing now from very low populations in the 1980s, and that is largely because they were drowning in shrimp nets in high numbers, and now these nets are not nearly as deadly because they're required to carry these devices.
Mm-hmm. Carl, you provided me with a link to a website, floridaleatherbacks.com, and there I've accessed an audio file here that you recorded in May of 2004. Give us a quick setup for this, and then we'll listen to a little bit.
This is in Juneau Beach, Florida, which is sort of south-central Florida on the Atlantic coast. We were out all night long looking for leatherback turtles. This is one of the more important leatherback nesting beaches in Florida and one of the most important loggerhead turtle nesting beaches in the world, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Despite the fact that it's heavily developed, there are a lot of people living there, a lot of high-rise condos, but they have ordinances where people have to keep the lighting out or their drapes closed on the beachfront because the light discourages the turtles and disorients the hatchlings.
Oh.
So it's a great accommodation. There are a lot of people there, but there are a lot of turtles. And a few of them are leatherbacks. And we were out all night, and at about 4 in the morning, we came upon this one that was nesting.
And let's listen.
It's 4 o'clock in the morning, and this is Carl Safina. We've just watched a leatherback covering up her nest, and she's starting to head toward the sea. She's a particularly beautiful one, really nice and clean and hugely big. She has a very impressive pair of front flip, look like gigantic wings. And she's come out of the nest, covered it up, made a lot of commotion in the sand, just trying to disguise the spot, and then traveled down the berm. There's a little bit of an escarpment there that she sort of coasted down. And right at this very moment, she's hunching her way and shoving her way toward the waves.
And Carl, just what kind of voyeur do you have to be to watch these beautiful critters?
Yeah, you have to be a very, very patient one who can do without sleep.
Uh-huh. And you probably go a long time without a sighting like this, right?
Yeah, over there, they were averaging about one or two turtles per night on a 17-mile stretch of beach. So some nights we would see a couple, some nights we would see one, occasionally we would see none. There are other beaches I've been to, especially down in Trinidad, which is probably now the most important beach for leatherback thing and the largest population, one that is recovering rapidly from a low point of about 25 years ago. And there you can see quite a few of them. Every night you can see more than a dozen a night at the peak part of the season.
Well, Carl, we've just had a chance to scratch the surface of your story here. I hope people will pick up the book Voyage of the Turtle in Pursuit of the Earth's Last Dinosaur. We've been talking with Carl Safina, and I really enjoyed it, Carl.
It was terrific fun, and it went by very quickly.
Thank you. Thank you very much, sir.
Okay.
All right, coming up next, we're going to surface, get some air, and then talk to blogger Bennett Kelly as he compares the Lamont victory to some of the problems faced by California's Phil Angelo.
Come on in, and you will see the Central Avenue Bakery. Smell the bread, try the scones. Everything so tasty, you want to take it all home. Vegetarian is a good affair. We make our meals in a kosher kitchen. I'll make mine falafel with hummus too. A side of couscous and a baba ghanoush, yeah. Open at 7 every day. Or have a cup of coffee or your morning latte. Come on in and sit right down. It's the friendliest place in town. Central Avenue Bakery. MPG.
For an unforgettable omelet experience, visit the Central Avenue Bakery today. 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey, PG.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Postmortems on the Mideast ceasefire.
Hezbollah suffered a defeat in this crisis.
In the airliner bombing case, investigators follow the money trail.
A trail that begins in the rubble of last year's earthquake in Pakistan and bears the fingerprints of Al-Qaeda.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney.
Al-Irada wal-Iman.
Hezbollah leader Hassan Nasrallah went on TV today claiming a strategic, historic victory over Israel. But Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Olmert says the fighting just ended eliminated the state within a state that operated in South Lebanon. There was an echo in Washington. CBS News correspondent Dan Raviv joins us live.
Yet another way of taking Israel's side, Bill. President Bush declaring Hezbollah lost.
How can you claim victory when at one time you were a state within a state, safe within southern Lebanon, and now you're going to be replaced?
Mr. Bush blamed that Shiite Muslim group for the deaths and destruction and blamed Syria and Iran, adding,
"You can only imagine how much more dangerous this conflict would be if Iran had the nuclear weapon it seeks."
Add the Iraq insurgents and what he says looks like an Al-Qaeda plan to blow up airplanes. The lesson, says Mr. Bush, is that there's a war on terror and the government needs to have weapons, including surveillance. Live in Washington, Dan Raviv, CBS News.
From Metula, Israel, CBS News correspondent Alan Pizzi reports on the withdrawal of Israeli troops and tanks.
Several shooting incidents between Israeli forces and Hezbollah fighters didn't disrupt it, and Israeli generals were reportedly pleased with how things turned out. But trust is in short supply here, and the Israelis are by no means giving up all the territory they fought over. The pullback stopped just south of the border, where weary soldiers grabbed what rest they could in case they had to go back again. An Israeli warning that anything moving on roads could be considered a target might as well not have been uttered. As fast as the tanks left, Lebanese civilians flooded back.
What they found in many cases were homes and businesses reduced to rubble. Now this.
To add some prestige to the pursuit of driving pleasure, the Michelin Man is attempting to establish a master's degree program in driver's ed. Visit MichelinMan.com to learn why the uncompromising performance of Michelin MX Series Touring Tires is the ultimate study aid for those seeking to graduate to a higher level of driving. To find a Michelin dealer near you, call 1-800-MICHELIN. Michelin, a better way forward.
To Office Depot today for incredible deals on great tools to start school. Now at Office Depot, two pocket paper portfolios are 10 for a dollar, and one subject wirebound notebooks are just 6 for 60 cents. And for all your qualified school supply purchases, Office Depot will give 5% back in credits to your child's school. So hurry into Office Depot for great back to school deals. Taking care of business at Office Depot. See store for details. While supplies last, quantities limited.
CBS News has learned more arrests are likely in the alleged plot to blow up as many as 10 airliners. Correspondent Sheila McVicker in London reports investigators are following the money used to finance the plot, and some of it apparently was diverted from last year's earthquake relief effort.
Moved by the plight of the victims, mosques and charities raised millions of dollars. Much of it was spent legitimately, but for months, as the suspected liquid bomb plotters were under surveillance, terror financing investigators in Britain and Pakistan watched them make suspicious bank transfers. Pakistan has now arrested three men on suspicion of laundering money back to the British plotters. One of them, Rashid Rauf, is British, a key figure suspected of linking the plot to Al-Qaeda.
Some of the young men arrested in Britain traveled to Pakistan last fall, ostensibly to help quake victims, but investigators believe that was just an excuse to attend militant training camps. The Army's 172nd Stryker Brigade combat team was so close to the end of its deployment in Iraq that 300 soldiers had already made it home to Alaska. But then, to help bolster security in Baghdad, the unit's tour was extended, and those 300 have been ordered to return for up to four additional months. Retired Colonel Jeff McCausland, a CBS News military consultant, says it's somewhat unprecedented.
I think it underscores how difficult things are in Iraq, but probably those state the case that if a unit is extended, all members of the unit will be extended, even those that might have begun returning home.
Insurgents in Fallujah, Iraq, have been waging an assassination campaign against Iraqi police, sometimes attacking them at home and killing their families. Today, a police official said nearly half the force has been failing to report for duty. The U.S. military officer in charge of training Iraqi police says reports of desertions are exaggerated. The U.S. military has unveiled a new uniform for Iraqi police. It's difficult to copy, which should frustrate those who stage attacks or commit crimes disguised as officers. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
The world changes. The economy changes. Your life changes. And as they do, there's something that doesn't change. The commitment we at UBS feel toward each client. A commitment to offer reviews of your portfolio, to assess your financial goals, and to provide solutions that help you manage all the changes. Wealth management from UBS. In a changing world, an unchanging promise we call you and us. Member SIPC.
Aflac for small business.
Yeah, you cover small business?
Yes, we do.
Great, because I'm a flea.
Okay. Well, it is a dog-eat-dog world out there.
Look, I got a family business. Here comes Paw.
Oh, your dad?
No, a Paw!
Well, with Aflac for small business, you get a lot of the benefits of a big business at no direct cost to you.
Oh, like a flea market?
Well, sort of. Visit AflacSB.com or call 1-800-99.
Aflac!
American Family Life Assurance Company of Columbus. Aflac.
Now, from the Left Coast, we launch another hour of the Peter B. Collins Show. Coming up on the half hour, blogger Bennett G. Kelly will join us to ruminate about the Ned Lamont victory and the challenge of Phil Angelides here in California. But first, let's talk about airline security.
I used to fly with my clothes on till the airline clothing banned. We went from scanning to banning. One airline had tanning, and this was the ad they ran. Fly safe, fly naked. No weapons to find. You're safer with nothing on. Naked airline.
And remember, Bush and fear are both four-letter words.
No carry-ons, no clothing, no laptops. Well, laptops. And I'm feeling shy. Instead of metal detection, no clothing, directions from the nude flight attendant, a guy. Damn. Fly safe, fly naked. No weapons to find.
The musical madness of Loose Bruce Kerr. By day, he is a lawyer. And at night, he kind of turns into Weird Al Yankovic.
Well, we're all in this together and dressed in the all together. Managed safely to arrive. It's been a long, strange trip, cause we had to strip. But hey, we're alive. Everybody fly safe, fly naked.
And this just came in via email from Greg Pallast, the investigative reporter who's too good to be published or broadcast in the United States. And his dispatch reads, so Osama walks into this bar, see, and Bush says, what do you have, partner? And Osama says, but wait a minute, I'd better shut my mouth. The sign here in the airport says security is no joking matter. But if security's no joking matter, why does this guy dressed in a high school marching band outfit tell me to dump my Frappuccino and take off my shoes? All I can say is thank the Lord the shoe bomber didn't carry Semtex in his underpants. Let's turn for a little more coherent commentary from Eric Lever. He's a research fellow at the Institute for Policy Studies and Policy Outreach Director for the Foreign Policy and Focus Project. He co-authored with Phyllis Bennis the book Iraq Quagmire, The Mounting Costs of War and the Case for Bringing Home the Troops. He also was co-publisher of Crude Design, the Ripoff of Iraq's Oil Wealth. Welcome back to the Peter B. Collins Show, Eric Lever.
Thanks for having me, Peter. And that music was great. There's so few chances for laughter in Washington that it was one of the few things that brought a smile to my face today.
Well, if you'd like, I could email an MP3 of it, and you could just listen to it all day long. Loose Bruce actually wrote that song in early 2002, so it's been floating around just waiting for reality to catch up with it.
There was in the Post, I forget if it was over the weekend or not, but in the editorial cartoons, there was a similar themed cartoon, so the idea is getting out there.
Yes, it is. So if we have to be serious about this, first of all, I have to say, Eric, that my skeptic software went into overdrive last week when this busted-up plot was announced. How about yours?
Well, you know, I think that we're all happy that they were able to find these folks and stop them. You know, there's been a lot of speculation in the papers about, you know, how far along were they. You know, what was the exact timing? You know, we saw some differences of opinions, you know, being placed between the Brits and the U.S. about when these folks should be apprehended. But, you know, in any case, it's good to see that old-fashioned police work, you know, can actually be successful and without having to, you know, consistently wage a war on terror.
Now, by all accounts, did the British actually conduct this operation within the purview of their own laws?
That is what appears to be the case, and in fact, you know, what we saw was with one of the folks who was arrested in Pakistan, that there was a good difference in opinion between the Brits and the U.S. The U.S. had been pushing for him to be arrested sooner rather than later, and the Brits were being hesitant because they wanted to make sure that the arrest was done within the purview of their law. Now, the Pakistanis ended up going ahead and arresting this gentleman earlier so that the Brits did not win on this case. And to me, it shows, you know, another example of us sort of going beyond the law in pursuit of these villains.
Well, and we have to look at it in context because Tuesday night, Ned Lamont beat Joe Lieberman by 4 points. Wednesday morning, Dick Cheney goes on a conference call with reporters and denounces the defeat of Lieberman, suggesting that Ned Lamont is an Al-Qaeda type, whatever that means. And he kind of threw down the gauntlet here that Democrats are weak on these security issues because he knew that within 12 hours, we were going to learn of this interrupted plot.
Yep.
And that suggests that if the timing was goosed by Washington, that there is a political component to this. And I'm not dismissing that there's a security component as well. I'm just asking because we have seen these highly publicized bust-ups of alleged plots to hurt Americans, and six out of the last five have proven to be relatively groundless. The alleged plan to attack the PATH trains in New York was a bunch of guys in a chat room who didn't even, you know, have current plans to travel to the U.S. We have learned that of the two dozen conspirators, mostly British citizens of Pakistani origin, that some of them didn't have airline tickets or even passports in order to get one. And so it does suggest that the investigation was not fully ripe from the British point of view, but the timing was at least to some degree influenced by American interests.
It's entirely possible. You know, as you noted, the senior British officials have suggested that the attack was not imminent, saying that the suspects hadn't yet purchased airline tickets. Some of them didn't have passports, and they actually wanted to let them go through with this dry run so that they could understand the tactics and who all was involved a little bit more. And so, and as I mentioned, you know, the U.S. was pushing for arrests to take place. And so, you know, the timing of it is interesting. You know, you look at the papers the next day, the Washington Post had a headline, "Both parties claim edge as terror is reinforced as a campaign topic." I mean, here you have, you know, potentially another catastrophe, a global catastrophe on our hands, and people are posturing around it, you know, politically. In the run-up before this, you know, in recent weeks, Cheney has been, you know, he said to visiting diplomats a couple of weeks ago that, you know, that there was a war in the 1990s, but we didn't know it. You'll see case after case of terrorists hitting America or American targets and America failing to hit back hard enough. So, you know, the administration knew, you know, I think that they were playing this hand, you know, for the biggest reason is that they were losing, you know, in greater and greater numbers in the polls in Iraq. And consistently, you know, the president since 9/11 has polled very high for his handling of terrorist incidents or terrorism in general. And so, you know, I think that they were hoping to be able to play that card in a higher manner as the elections came up. But, you know, ironically, you know, while, you know, his approval remains still at around 35-36%, and the president's rating for handling terrorism remains unchanged at 51%. So, you know, even while both parties are trying to sort of, you know, use this as an advantage, the public isn't taking any part of it. They're staying home on this one.
Well, and I'll offer my opinion second here. Who do you think was first to politicize this in American domestic rhetoric?
Well, you know, my first awareness of it was, you know, sort of in the outrage of Lieberman's discussion. Now, I didn't, you know, I wasn't tracking to see who said what immediately, but, you know, the way that this town is and the amount of, you know, positioning that's going around over these elections, you know, clearly both sides weren't holding any punches on it.
Well, my take is that Democrats are hypersensitive on the charge that they're weak on security, and also outraged at being on the receiving end of the previous manipulations that I cited. And so, from my perspective, it was the administration that first politicized this with the comments from Tony Snow and Dick Cheney in particular on Wednesday morning. And then, you know, I think they also are prepared to label the Democrats as the ones who have politicized this because, of course, the Republicans posture that they're just committed to our security, even if they have to wiretap and, you know, troll through our phone records to do so. And I think that's a phony argument, but that appears to be the way they've been playing it. And the subtext I read is that they want the NSA package that Arlen Specter has been working on that would whitewash and legalize the illegal actions to date while creating a huge open door or blank check for the president going forward.
To me, the question comes back to, And I think that this is the real question that both parties are fighting around is, you know, since 9/11, you know, is the country safer or not? I mean, President Bush, you know, hours after the plot was busted, you know, he made the claim this country is safer than it was prior to 9/11. And I think that, you know, we really have to take, you know, a good look at that. You know, let's look at what the president's policies have brought in terms of making us safer.
Mm-hmm.
There's been, you know, two plots that have been, you know, intercepted in Britain. One that was successful. You know, Osama bin Laden remains at large. In 2005, there was over 11,000 terrorist attacks measured by the State Department. I mean, you know, I think that we have to, you know, really start, you know, looking at, you know, this ideological battle where, you know, it's as black and white as the president's position on Iraq. You know, you have the president wanting to wage a war, essentially an open-ended, never-ending war on terror, and then you're able to look at, you know, a different approach that, you know, the British largely took of law enforcement,
right,
detective work.
Eric, we got to take a break. We'll pick up there as we continue. Eric Lever is our guest from the Institute for Policy Studies. If you'd like to join our conversation about airport security and this threat to our country and the politics of it, you're welcome to join us. It's 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Here at the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to KRXA 540.
Hello? What's in the box? Tell me what's in the box.
Rock, roll, and real estate. Every Sunday morning at 10, Rock, Roll, and Real Estate gives you the best information on first-time homebuyers, 1031 exchanges, investment strategies, exit strategies, and where the next hot real estate markets are. Rock, Roll, and Real Estate, where you're buying ahead of the curve. Every Sunday morning at 10.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
Tired of that dreaded drive into town for fresh quality produce? The Produce Barn in Carmel Valley Village has the perfect solution to your problem. Owners Ed Drobnik and Don Bikey have over 50 years of combined experience in the produce business and are passing the substantial savings on to their customers. The Produce Barn offers a wide selection of conventional and certified organic seasonal fresh fruits and vegetables. We also carry a fine selection of specialty candies and snacks, exquisite gourmet gift items, and feature Freedom Meats, savory sausages, bacon, and marinated fresh meats. Heck, we even throw in free recipes. So, whether you're a restaurant, lodge, home chef, or treasured village visitor, stop by the Produce Barn at 13750A Center Street in the Center Street Plaza, behind Wells Fargo, and right next to the Chatterbox. We're open 7 days a week.
The Produce Barn in Carmel Valley Village, 659-5916. That's 659-5916. The Produce Barn.
It's time for the Monterey County Fair, August 15th through the 20th. On Tuesday night, don't miss Grammy Award-winning Asleep at the Wheel. On Wednesday, it's current recording artist Billy Dean. Thursday night is Tower of Power. On Friday night, it's Santana's original lead singer, Greg Raleigh. Saturday night, the new Battle of the Bands. And on Sunday, enjoy the Chicano All-Stars and other great Latin bands. Monterey County Fair, August 15th through the 20th. Buy your tickets online at montereycountyfair.com or call 372-5863.
Thank you.
Good afternoon. I'm Larry Olson with traffic on KRXA 540 Gilroy North 101 before Mastin. It's a bucket rolling around in the middle lane. Santa Cruz, South 17, Paso Tiempo entrance. Two-car crash. That would be working on the right shoulder. King City, Yolen on-ramp to North 101. Grass fire, it's now out. The ramp is still closed. Fire department is on scene mopping up there. Capitola, southbound Highway 1 before 41st. Two-car crash. Center divider, CHP on the scene there as well. Aches and pains keeping you up. Big news, new Advil PM is here. The multi-pain relieving power of Advil plus a gentle sleep aid. New Advil PM, stop hurting and start sleeping. I'm Larry Olson with traffic on KRXA 540.
Here at the Peter B. Collins Show. Lines are open if you'd like to talk with us about airport security and the busted up plot in Britain. 888-5-PETER-B is my number. That's 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. If you like the digits better.
Never sends you an omen. A revolution just arrived like the morning. Ring the alarm, we come to wake up the snoring. They're telling you to never worry about the future. They're telling you to never worry about the torture. They're telling you that you will never see the horror. Spend it all today and we will bill you tomorrow. Three-piece suits and bank accounts in Bahamas. Wall Street crime will never send you to the slammer. Tell all the children in the arms of the mamas. The F-15 is a homicide bomber. Commercial for a pop a pill culture. Drug companies circling like a vulture. Amorati babies with the G.I. Joe father. 10 years from now, is anybody gonna bother you? Fire.
Yeah, but if you take my liquids, how am I going to swallow my Prozac, man? That's Michael Franti and Spearhead, a title song from their new CD called Yell Fire. We're talking with Eric Lever, research fellow from the Institute for Policy Studies. And Eric, during the brief period when I was modeling bully behavior as a teenager, in the summertime, I would take my little brother onto the diving board at the swimming pool, pretend to push him in, and then at the last minute rescue him and say, I saved your life. And I feel like that's what the Bush administration is doing with us. That they create these situations that scare the hell out of us and then brag about how they're making us feel safer.
As you noted on the intro, you know, Bush and fear are both four-letter words, and it's very clear that, you know, the Republican Party, you know, falls very much into wanting to use the element of fear as much as possible to, you know, control the population into doing what they think that, you know, should be done, and whether that's, you know, upsetting the civil liberties at home, waging war throughout the Middle East, they've been very successful at it. And I think any time that an event gets brought up, you know, we need both to be mindful about the real threat of terrorism that I think has probably increased under the Bush administration.
Mm-hmm.
Just looking at the greater number of attacks, the fact that Osama bin Laden is still at large, the fact that every day that we're fighting in Iraq, we're, you know, helping enrage, you know, Muslims throughout the world.
We have enhanced the perception that Israel and the United States are one common enemy for many people around the world.
Yeah, I think, you know, and at the same time, you know, the efforts of reformist Muslims across the world, you know, they've really, you know, been stymied because of our actions, which has caused such a violent radicalization of the population. So, you know, you have to look at that on one hand and then balance it with, you know, what are the real threats that we're facing. And it, you know, you need to balance them and look at those both issues very closely.
And I regard fear-mongering as an element of fascism, and I find it interesting that the president has expanded his vocabulary and now refers to this as Islamo-fascism that, you know, we are fighting. And, you know, that is an interesting tactic, for example, that Tom DeLay has used quite a bit. If he's doing something, he points a finger at somebody else and says, look what he's doing.
Well, part of, you know, this is getting us into thinking that we're, you know, going to be fighting a long war. And every time you talk about, you know, that we're in this long war or generalizing, you know, the issues at hand to Islamofascism, you really make individual conflicts harder and harder to solve. So, you know, whereas, you know, we've seen, you know, problems in Somalia that has a Muslim element to it, to, you know, what's going on with the war and, you know, feuding between Hezbollah and Israel, you know, each one of these things is an individual thing. They all have their own history, and by generalizing it into a war on terrorism or a war on Islamic fascism, mm-hmm. it makes it much harder to deal with, you know, the individual issues as they arise.
Oh, I agree. Let's take a call. Peter from Los Angeles, thanks for phoning. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show. Good afternoon. Oh, I'm sorry. Now I can hear you. Go ahead, Peter.
Oh, no, I was just calling in to hear my good friend and cousin, Bennett Kelly.
Oh, okay. Well, then you hold on. He's coming up next.
Okay.
I thought maybe you had a comment for Eric Lever right now.
Nope, just
okay.
Listening in.
Very good. All right, you can hang on there. I'll put you back on hold. There you go. Well, Eric, as we look at this picture, the one thing, you know, I've been focusing on my skepticism and the politics of all this, but I want to make very clear that I don't deny that there are serious threats to our country and that the British appear to have broken up a very significant plot here. The problem I have is that by extending, for example, the alert to the entire United States, when from everything we know, and we don't know everything, but from what we do know, there doesn't appear to be any direct threat to our domestic air system.
The immediacy, and, you know, I sort of, you know, call this panic as policy, you know, that as soon as the word got out, you know, about this busted plot and they were talking about liquids, you know, the reaction was to have mass chaos and you know, to simply start dumping nail polish and any sort of liquid beverage that, you know, was going to be put on an airplane. I mean, again, you know, this issue about the liquids has been known about for years, and
right.
the administration has failed to do anything. You know, in February, the Government Accountability Office, you know, issued a report saying, you know, that Homeland Security had redirected half of the funding it had for research and development to, you know, to deal with these sorts of issues. And
yeah.
So, you know,
Eric, I got to stop. We're out of time, but it's a pleasure to talk with you, and we'll do it again.
Thanks, Peter.
Eric Lever, Institute for Policy Studies in Washington. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show, where Bennett Kelly joins us next.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
You got cooking. How's about cooking something up with me?
I'll tell you what I got cooking. Dinner's ready. I went to dinnersready.com, chose 8 gourmet dinners, made an appointment, and went to their storefront in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove and prepared the meals there myself. Now I'm cooking them in my own home.
What's that you say? Dinner's ready?
That's right. Dinner's ready. It's the newest concept in home cooking. They do all the shopping and chopping, and I get all the credit. If you're too busy to go in and make your dinners, they'll even do it for you. So sign up at dinnersready.com, stop by and see them in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove, or give them a call at 645-9100. That's 645-9100. Dinner's ready.
Doesn't your Volvo deserve to be maintained and repaired by the best? Hans Auto Repair in Seaside is locally owned and operated by Mike Brooks and Tracy Polacco. Tracy is a factory-trained Volvo service advisor. Mike is a factory-trained and certified Volvo technician with over 17 years of experience servicing and repairing Volvos. Join the many Monterey Bay Volvo owners who only trust Hans Auto Repair to service their Volvos. Hans Auto Repair is at 384 Olympia Avenue in Seaside. Call Hans at 583-9820. That's 583-9820. Concerned about the steady increase in home mortgage interest rates? Don't panic or overreact. Now is the time to analyze the many available options and to choose the best possible course. Leverage the equity in your home to reduce or eliminate high interest and non-deductible debt. Victor Munoz, president of Creative Mortgage, invites you for a free consultation in his Salinas offices at 201 John Street. To schedule your free Creative Mortgage consultation, call Victor at 757-0436 right now. That's 757-0436.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy together are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. Research and common sense show that children learn by playing, and the caring management and staff at Thinker Toys have 37 years of experience helping parents and grandparents choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. So whether you're birthday shopping or simply want to show your love, a gift from Thinker Toys is a way to let someone know you care enough to shop for the very best. With an outstanding selection of Thomas the Tank engines and tracks, puzzles, board games, and children's books, all very reasonably priced, you can't go wrong with a gift from Thinker Toys. So stop by the beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos or the just renovated Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily.
This is Frank Don. On Sunday evenings at 7 p.m. here on KRXA 540 a.m., join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour, a live call-in program to discuss astrology, the astrology of the world, and your own personal astrology. Let me answer your questions, and let me teach you how astrology can help you make better life choices. Here on KRXA 540 a.m. from 7 to 8 every Sunday evening, join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale with great news. I have a new time slot. Reality Radio can be heard every Saturday afternoon now from 4 to 5. So keep it right here, AM 540, for extraordinary progressive talk. With me, Sheila Gale, number one in Reality Radio. There's nothing we won't talk about. Saturdays, 4 to 5 p.m., sponsored in part by Primerica Financial Services. Call Joe and Phyllis at the Marina office for your free consultation. See you Saturday on KRXA.
Minutes past the hour, we continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, and I continue to be your humble host, Peter B. Coming up next hour, we throw open the phone lines in the free speed zone, and we're going to get a live report from Camp Casey, the new Camp Casey in Crawford, Texas, where the backbone folks have arrived. Bill Moore will tell you all about it next hour. And now we meet Bennett G. Kelly. We'll find out if he describes himself as a blogger or just a guy with too many opinions who publishes them on the web. He's been active in politics for 30 years, was co-founder of the Democratic National Committee's Saxophone Club, going back to the Clinton era. He's the author of the essay, President Bush, the False Prophet of the Christian Right, which appears in Big Bush Lies, 20 essays and a list of the 50 most telling lies of George W. Bush, published in 2004. And he's written many other pieces, too, been a contributor to the Huffington Post, and he is the founder of the website BushLies.net, I think. Let's just put Bennett on, and he can straighten us out. Bennett G. Kelly, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show, where we honor middle initials.
Thank you. I'm glad to be your humble guest.
Nice to talk with you. And do you consider yourself a blogger or just somebody who publishes on the web?
I consider myself as a blogger to an extent, yes.
Mm-hmm.
We're about putting out information and making sure people can make informed decisions. So to that extent, I'm part of the blogger movement.
Okay. And BushLies.net, you started that in January of 2003, and I'm sorry to say I've never been there. What would I find at BushLies.net?
What you would find would be, unfortunately, over 100 pages worth of content documenting the lies of the Bush administration over the last 6 years. And I launched it, and after the 2002 election, because I just was frustrated that I didn't feel the Democrats were putting up a fight and getting the message out, and I didn't think the media was picking up on it. So, this was my shouting out to the world and through cyberspace, And it got quite a lot of attention, actually.
Now, which came first, your site or the pages that Henry Waxman put up, which performed a somewhat similar service?
Waxman's report came, I believe, about a year or so later.
Uh-huh.
And actually, the Columbia Journalism Review cited this site and several others as being one of the first to see an MO of the Bush administration to really use lies to further their agenda.
Mm-hmm. So before we get into the piece you wrote last week, which I'm interested in discussing, what is your take on the terror alerts, the plot in Britain that was busted up, and the way the Bush administration has played this for domestic consumption?
Well, I think the Lamont victory, and this is tied together, because the Lamont victory scares them because they're afraid of a united Democratic opposition that is highlighting how wrong and how failed the policy in Iraq is, and also pointing out what a poll of over 100 national security experts almost unanimously found, that we're losing the war on terror and Iraq isn't helping. And so they don't want that to be the message.
Mm-hmm.
And so having Joe Lieberman in the race is able to dilute that message, and then pointing to terror plots broken up overseas, it just allows them to distract from the issue of their stewardship.
And mm-hmm. Well, there is an election in November too.
Yes, and that's the key.
Mm-hmm. I share your view there. I think that one other element I would add is that reading the likely outcome of the Connecticut primary, Senator Clinton from New York took a sharply different tack by demanding that Rumsfeld show up before the Senate Armed Services Committee and then hammering him and ultimately demanding his resignation. That little piece of theater, I think, was her way of acknowledging that Lieberman was going down to defeat, and that the centrist Democratic position that paralleled the Bush administration on Iraq issues was no longer tenable.
I think she definitely did see a seismic shift. The one thing I would disagree, though, is I don't know if you can read the Lamont victory as a left-right. I really think it's about whether or not we'll stand up and fight. And if you look at the debate between Lamont and Lieberman, one of the first things Lamont said was, "Senator Lieberman, if you won't challenge President Bush on this failed agenda, I will."
Mm-hmm.
And that's really what it's about. Are we going to be an opposition party?
Well, I think that's an interesting point, and I don't disagree with you. I think there is a left-right component. But I also do agree that what Lamont represents for progressive Democrats is an end to accommodation, an end to the straddle, and a much more distinctive and confrontational position from Democrats. And, Bennett, this is something I was hoping for all year long. I wanted Marcy Winograd to pull off the same accomplishment over Jane Harman in the district just south of you there. I was disappointed that, Winograd got, I think, 37, 38 points against Harman, which is remarkable against an incumbent. But it's even more remarkable against a three-term senator. And what did we hear? It's been 25 years since a sitting senator lost a primary like this.
1980, yes.
So it is, to his credit, but also I think that it is a moment in time that at least I had hoped for and kind of saw coming for at least 6 to 9 months.
And then surprisingly, Senator Lieberman did not. And that's the amazing thing about it, how tone deaf he was.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, he was endorsed by his hometown newspaper, the New Haven Register. And on Sunday, they had an op-ed that basically said, you should pull out, and that the primary vote should have told you just how out of touch with the state you were, that you had taken for granted.
Mm.
And that's from a paper that endorsed him. So.
Well, it's going to be very interesting to see. Now, you're probably aware that the Republicans have had a hard time in some respects, because Karl Rove reached out to the Lieberman campaign and said, "We want to help." And my reaction was, "How about a full frontal kiss, with some tongue?" But the Republicans have a bit of a conundrum there because they actually have a candidate on the ballot who's only polling at 9%, and they're trying not to be disloyal and dump on that guy. At the same time, Ken Mellman refused 8 different times when Chris Matthews asked him on TV last week to flatly state that the Republicans support the Republican candidate.
And the flip side is Lieberman has a conundrum, too, because if he accepts their support, he proves Lamont was right. And Lieberman right now, I mean, he's ahead 46-41 in the polls, but that's based on still retaining 35% of the Democratic support. And if he goes to, you know, he kisses Ken Mellman, then I think it's going to be very hard to hold that 35%.
Mm-hmm. Now, Bennett, you published a piece on August 11th under the title The Soapbox, where you took a look at the Lamont victory and how it bodes for Phil Angelides, the Democratic challenger to sitting governor. We can't quite call him an incumbent because he didn't serve a full term.
True.
But our sitting governor and action movie star, Arnold Schwarzenegger.
And, yes, I did.
So go ahead and explain a little bit the parallels that you see.
Well, the parallels were actually a negative image of the two. In that in Connecticut, you have a politician breaking through, energizing his base, and moreover, putting the party in a better position for the fall, in that his views are more in line with the views of Connecticut voters than Senator Lieberman is, at least on a rock. And then here in California, what you had was a competitive governor's race, and normally the practice is not to endorse in competitive races. And, you know, the party stepped in and endorsed Mr. Angelides, and he was able to break through mm-hmm. and win the primary. And what you have is a situation where there's been a complete lull since his victory. He hasn't energized the base. He's basically come out leading with his call for a tax increase a la Walter Mondale. And, you know, so he hasn't really, the party's not in a better position in terms of going head-to-head against Arnold Schwarzenegger in the fall. So, you know, I think, you know, Angelides, obviously, you know, there's still some time left, but he really needs to rethink his campaign and figure out how he's going to energize the base and how to really put an effective opposition to Mr. Schwarzenegger.
Well, a couple of things that I don't agree with you on, Bennett, are, that Angelides hasn't been doing anything since the primary. He is hamstrung because he used all his money to defeat Wesley, and Wesley, I calculated, spent $45 for each vote that he got in the primary. And also, what happened 3 days after Angelides squeaked this out, he beat Wesley by, what, 3.5, 4 points. Governor Schwarzenegger's campaign went back on television using Steve Wesley's attacks on Phil Angelides and even quoting him and hammering again on the tax increase issue and a few other of the items that Wesley had used to sling mud at Angelides. And some of those, I think, were over the edge. The polluting Lake Tahoe, for example, was such a stretch.
It was a tough campaign.
I mean, it's like Angelides spent a night at a condo up there, and Wesley said, you know, that he was responsible for everything that had ever happened at that condo development. I'm oversimplifying, but that's my take on that particular attack. So Schwarzenegger has spent $10 million this summer trying to drive up the negatives of Phil Angelides, and I have to concede it's working. But he's using the attack points that Wesley generated in trying to knock off Angelides, and this is a problem that we've seen over time hitting in the most awful ways. For example, many people forget that the Willie Horton concept surfaced in the primary when Al Gore used it against Michael Dukakis.
Before the New York primary.
And Lee Atwater picked up on it, and he made the Grizzly commercial. I mean, he turned it into a much bigger thing. But it's important to note that that weapon was developed by a Democrat for use on a Democrat, and then after that race was over, in the general election, it was used in a much more effective and sordid way, and it worked. And so that's my parallel to what Schwarzenegger has been able to do because he has more money and because he at least has higher name ID, if not overall better ratings.
I hear your thoughts, and I didn't mean to suggest that Angeles hasn't been doing anything since the election. It's just that there hasn't been much traction for the campaign, and there's a number of reasons for that. But one thing to keep in mind, what Wesley was attacking on was his tax increase. And, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure that out. And so the fact that Wesley raised that, even if he didn't, Schwarzenegger was going to hit hard on that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so in some ways, to the extent that Angelides was able to sustain that attack and win the primary, then, theoretically, he should be able to hold his own in the fall.
Mm-hmm. Well, and if... Phil could come out against a war that Schwarzenegger had started. He might be able to use a little more of the Ned Lamont technique. Bennett, we're going to take a quick break and return. If you have a comment for Bennett Kelly about his views or about mine, you can give us a call right now at 1-888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. We'll continue in just a moment here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Who can take California?
Who can take California?
Set it on its ear.
Set it on its ear.
Stop it in its tracks and take it out of gear. The girly man.
The girly man.
The girly man can.
The girly man can.
The girly man can. Because he messes
You're listening
with my
to
mind
the news.
And makes
KRXA
my world amazing.
540.
You know what? Who can take a budget?
Who can take a budget?
Put it all askew.
Put it all.
Well, Mr. Tomato, how are you looking to make the most of your career in entertainment?
Well, I'm locally grown and people love me. But now that the Monterey County Fair has this countywide chili cook-off and salsa contest, I don't know. I've heard that great chili and salsa sing, so I've been practicing. Listen, one ton tomato, I'd be a one ton tomato.
It's one ton tomato. Besides, the Monterey County Fair doesn't need you to sing. They've got great musical entertainment. Monterey County Fair welcomes the public from August 15th to the 20th. Visit www.montereycountyfair.com.
Tired of that dreaded drive into town for fresh quality produce? The Produce Barn in Carmel Valley Village has the perfect solution to your problem. Owners Ed Drobnik and Don Bikey have over 50 years of combined experience in the produce business and are passing the substantial savings on to their customers. The Produce Barn offers a wide selection of conventional and certified organic seasonal fresh fruits and vegetables. We also carry a fine selection of specialty candies and snacks, exquisite gourmet gift items, and feature Freedom Meats, savory sausages, bacon, and marinated fresh meat. Heck, we even throw in free recipes. So, whether you're a restaurant, lodge, home chef, or treasured village visitor, stop by the Produce Barn at 13750A Center Street in the Center Street Plaza, behind Wells Fargo, and right next to the Chatterbox. We're open 7 days a week.
The Produce Barn in Carmel Valley Village, 659-5916. That's 659-5916. The Produce Barn.
Tom Hartman.
Now, I've got serious problems about the integrity of voting machines, but my bigger problem, and this is the issue that nobody's talking about, that we all should be talking about, is that the voting machines are owned not by us, but by private corporations.
It's the Tom Hartman Program.
Privatizing the vote is a felony against democracy. There's no other way to describe it. I want the corporations out of my vote.
Tom Hartman. Weekday mornings, 10 to noon. On KRXA 540.
Good afternoon. I'm Larry Olson with traffic on KRXA 540. Greenfield still have a pretty big problem working south 101 before Oak. Injury accident, overturned SUV landed on its wheels in a field. A second medical helicopter has been dispatched to the scene. This, of course, making a very bad injury crash south 101 right before Oak in Greenfield. Watsonville, Vega at Ridgecrest. Injury crash, car hit a tree. Emergency crews are en route. And if you're traveling through the Santa Cruz Mountains right now, no major problems to report on Highway 17. If you're looking to move up or scale down, look to your local Realty World broker for integrity, service, experience. Realty World, where the right agent makes all the difference in the world. RealtyWorldNCA.com. I'm Larry Olson with traffic on KRXA 540.
Peter B. Collins Show rolls on. Coming up next hour, we throw open the phone lines to talk with you in the free speech zone, and we'll have a live report from Crawford, Texas. No, not about Laura and W. but about Camp Casey and Cindy Sheehan.
I was walking down the street, concentrating on trucking right. I heard a dark voice beside of me, and I looked round in a state of fright. I saw four faces, one mat, a brother from the gutter. They looked me up and down a bit and turned to each other.
Here comes the payoff. Minutes away from the hour, we continue with Bennett Kelly. He's got two N's and one T in his first name, and Kelly is K-E-L-L-E-Y. And Bennett, where can people go online to get the Soapbox columns that you write?
Soapbox is every other Friday in the Santa Monica Daily Press, and that's smdp.com.
Okay. And thank you for sending it along to me, and please keep me on your list.
Happily.
One of the comments that you made that really resonated with me was the reference to Walter Mondale.
Yes.
I was a lucky guy because I had a press pass for the 1984 Democratic Convention that was held in San Francisco. And I was there for the speech that night when Mondale said that the current president needs to raise your taxes, but he won't tell you. And then he said, I just did. And that was the beginning of the end of the Mondale campaign. And he was making that statement for the right policy reasons, but Reagan was able to run against that and offer tax cuts as kind of crack for Republicans and was very effective. And likewise, this year, I cringed when Phil Angelides, well back, I mean, it was around the first of the year when things were very different in terms of the state's financial picture, and he went public with his proposal to roll back the tuition and fee increases at the University of California, the State College, and I believe even down to the community college level. And I support that policy. However, I know enough about politics to know that it is deadly for any candidate, particularly in this climate, to go out and talk about raising taxes, even if it's for somebody else. And Angelides tried to explain it as well as he could, that he was simply reinstating the tax level that the wealthiest Californians paid during the 1990s, when there were very few complaints, and none of those millionaires or billionaires actually pulled up stakes and left California, despite threats of that sort. So today, we have a state that got $5 to $7 billion in unexpected cash, much of it from Google millionaires paying their capital gains, over the course of the last 6 months. And Phil Angelides was on this program 1 week ago today, and I asked him point blank. I said, Phil, you keep getting hit for incredible amounts of tax increases. You know, it started at $6 billion, and Wesley had it up to $10 billion, and Arnold has put $10 million into the $10 billion, and now most people believe it. So I said, simple question, how much would it take to raise taxes to roll back the fees that you've talked about? And it disappointed me because he didn't have a scripted answer. He said, oh, you know, $600 million for the UCs. And anyway, he quickly tried to tally it up, but he did not have a firm figure. And it came floating in at around $2 billion. Now, that's a far cry from the $10 billion that Wesley and Schwarzenegger accuse him of. But any tax increase is viewed as a negative. So I think that Phil has dug himself in there, and he should come up with a new program to roll back those fees without raising taxes.
I mean, it's an interesting dichotomy. We want our candidates to be honest, but we don't want them to be too honest. In other words, you know, Phil's going to be punished for, you know, for taking that stance. Although in some ways, you know, it's what we say we want from our candidates. We want candor. We want them to be blunt with us, and but we punish them when they are.
Yeah. The other thing that I took him to task for, and I don't know what your position is, but I'm opposed to this ballot measure called Jessica's Law. And on the face of it, it looks good. It's going to put, you know, electronic leashes on released sex offenders and ban them from being housed within 2,000 feet of a school, park, or church. And that appeals to a lot of people. It's a great piece of pandering legislation. However, even under the current rules, we have trouble placing sex offenders when they are released from prison, because because of the existing laws that limit their placement near the same schools, churches, and parks that I described. And this is a feel-good law that is supported by 76% of those polled, and I know why Angelides has backed it. But I told him I don't respect him for that decision.
I mean, it's a technological version of the Scarlet Letter.
Mm-hmm.
And, there is a problem there. You know, once someone's paid their dues, you know, they should be allowed to re-enter society. At the same time, you do have the high recidivism rate, and so there's definitely a legitimate concern. But, you know, I think we should try to do it in a way that respects people's freedom.
Well, and the other thing that Angelides is looking at, frankly, and we didn't have time to discuss this aspect of it, is that the state prison guards, the CCPOA, has a $10 million political action fund, and they haven't decided how to spend it this year. And they are tweaking the governor with a negative ad that they produced but have not broadcast yet. You can find it at YouTube. I don't know if you've had a chance to see it.
No, I haven't seen it yet.
Well, it hammers him for being insufficiently tough on crime and the state prison system. And I think it's way off base, but it's a shot across the bow that is a warning to Schwarzenegger that he better play ball with them, or they're willing to spend that $10 million either against him or for Angelides, or a combination of the two.
I mean, that's a problem Angelides faces. He has a number of key players on the sidelines, not just the prison union, but the Eli Broad, Sherry Lanson, Ron Burkle.
Burkle, yeah.
I mean, he gave over $200,000 to Davis in various campaigns, so you know, he needs to get them on board and fast.
Bennett, another point you made in this piece that I fully agree with is the way that people like Bill Lockyer and Cruz Bustamante and even Jerry Brown are sucking up the oxygen in statewide Democratic offices where they're basically placeholders, you know, padding their retirement accounts.
Right.
And it does cut off the potential for people like Jackie Speier, who was an able state senator who lost the primary for lieutenant governor, and that's because John Garamendi backed out of his term-limited insurance commissioner office. So we're playing musical chairs, but it's not to the long-term benefit of the state Democratic Party. And
I mean, I agree. In fact, Jackie Speier was one of the candidates I had in mind when I thought about, you know, the potential talent we were losing because of this. And, you know, it's all a factor of term limits, which has kind of warped our system.
Yeah.
But you know, I think the party should encourage the senior statesmen to accept the role as being senior statesmen and not junior candidates.
Well, and Cruz Bustamante, in my book, is a loser, and he has won elections, but he's a loser overall. And he lied to me, Bennett. He was on this program before the primary, and I asked him point blank how much money, campaign cash, he was going to take from the insurance industry, and he said no more than 5%. And 3 days later, they published the latest disclosures on his campaign fundraising, and he was at 22% of insurance industry money in his campaign.
Wow.
And I told him, we had one Quackenbush, we can't do that again. And so I'm encouraging people to look on the other side of the aisle for insurance commissioner this year, because I can't support Cruz Bustamante.
Well, unfortunately, the other side has been just as, you know, far more cozy with the insurance companies, as was evidenced during the Quackenbush years.
Well, but this guy Poisner, who's running, is going to pay for his own campaign, and at least he won't be taking insurance company contributions. I want to thank you, Bennett, and let's talk again.
Thank you very much for having me.
Bennett Kelly here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Coming up next, the Free Speed Zone. We'll be taking your calls at 1-888-5-PETER-B.
It's time for the Monterey County Fair, August 15th through the 20th. On Tuesday night, don't miss Grammy Award-winning Asleep at the Wheel. On Wednesday, it's current recording artist Billy Dean. Thursday night is Tower of Power. On Friday night, it's Santana's original lead singer, Craig Raleigh. Saturday night, the new Battle of the Bands. And on Sunday, enjoy the Chicano All-Stars and other great Latin bands. Monterey County Fair, August 15th through the 20th. Buy your tickets online at MontereyCountyFair.com or call 372-5863.
Hi, this is Ed Schultz, America's number one progressive talker. Join me every weekday from noon to 3 here on KRXA 540. I'm based in Fargo, North Dakota, and we bring you news and views from the heartland of America. I'm fighting the righties every day on behalf of the working people who've made the nation great. Tell your friends to listen. Give me a call toll-free, 1-877-934-6833. The Ed Schultz Show, noon to 3 on KRXA 540. Think for yourself.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. Perhaps they were parting shots. The Israeli army says Hezbollah guerrillas have fired at least 10 Katyusha rockets in southern Lebanon, but no one was hurt and none of the rockets crossed the Israeli border. CBS News correspondent Alan Pizzi is south of the border in Metula, Israel.
It's extremely quiet. There are a lot of soldiers moving around, troops who've been rotated out of Lebanon. That's rotated is because the Israelis, while they are pulling some forces back, they're not closing down their operation in Lebanon. There are almost no civilians in this town. It was badly hit by Katyusha rocket fire. The forests all around here have been burned. There's damage in lots of houses.
We certainly hope the ceasefire holds, because it is step one of making sure that Lebanon's democracy is strengthened.
President Bush blames Hezbollah for starting the fighting, and he blames Iran and Syria for supporting Hezbollah. In a taped speech shown on TV today, Hezbollah leader Hassan Nasrallah claimed a strategic and historic victory and said this is no time to talk about disarming his group. More arrests in the airliner bombing plot seem likely as investigators follow the money. CBS News has learned that some funds donated for earthquake relief in Pakistan last year were apparently funneled to the conspirators in Britain. Just weeks after returning from Iraq, 300 soldiers in Alaska have been ordered to return to help with the crackdown on violence in Baghdad. Their unit's tour of duty has been extended for 4 months. Phil Boyce is a spokesman at Fort Wainwright, Alaska.
What we're doing right now is working very closely with the soldiers and, more specifically, their families, their spouses, their children, to make certain that everything that can be done for them in their soldiers' absence is being done.
Most of the Army's 172nd Stryker Brigade combat team is still in Iraq. Their orders were changed before they had a chance to leave. Dell Computers recalling more than 4 million laptops because their batteries can overheat and even burst into flames. CBS News technology consultant Larry Maggott has been following this story.
In June, a Dell laptop burst into flames during a conference in Japan. A very dramatic photograph of the laptop burning was widely circulated over the internet, causing some people to speculate what would happen if that were to occur during a flight.
The lithium-ion batteries are manufactured by Sony. Cuban state television has broadcast video of Fidel Castro recorded yesterday, his 80th birthday. Castro is in bed talking with his brother Raul and visiting Venezuelan President Hugo Chavez. CBS's Portia Siegelbaum is in Havana.
Castro looked weak, I have to say, and his voice was very weak. And we did see him only lying in bed, not sitting up or move. We saw him writing and shaking hands with Chavez, who has been his closest ally in Latin America, and who has been very important economically to Cuba.
The Dow up 9 points today. This is CBS News.
To increase driving pleasure for all motorists, the Michelin Man is on a door-to-door quest to collect signatures for a petition to build an American Autobahn. Visit MichelinMan.com to learn how the uncompromising performance of Michelin MX Series touring tires can give you the confidence to achieve driving bliss on any road you travel. To find a Michelin dealer near you, call 1-800-MICHELIN. Michelin, a better way forward.
Being a realtor is the all-American job.
I'm an entrepreneur at heart.
I'm a small business, just like the coffee shop on the corner.
I'm very involved in my community.
We do more than just help people buy and sell homes. It has to do with making a difference in people's lives.
Helping people find a piece of the American dream is the best job in the whole world.
Realtors don't just help you buy and sell homes. They're small business owners who help build communities. Ask if your agent is a realtor, a member of the National Association of Realtors.
I help people live the American dream every day.
Even smokers with a long-term habit might get help from a new drug. CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato reports.
New
research shows the recently approved smoking treatment Chantix is effective even for long-term puffers. In one study funded by Chantix's maker, Pfizer, the anti-craving drug was given to smokers who averaged a pack a day for about 24 years. Nearly half quit smoking for at least 4 weeks. About 14% were smoke-free after a year. Alongside this archives of internal medicine study, University of Virginia expert Bancoli Johnson writes there are no more excuses to delay treatment.
To be able to show an important difference several months after, I think, is really quite nice because it shows that the treatment gains are sustained.
Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
A Maryland travel agent has agreed to make full restitution to the dozens of customers he cheated. Terrence Hawkins took money for tickets to the Oprah Winfrey Show and bus trips to see the show in Chicago. He never delivered. By the way, tickets to see Oprah are free. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
To add some prestige to the pursuit of driving pleasure, the Michelin Man is attempting to establish a master's degree program in driver's ed. Visit MichelinMan.com to learn why the uncompromising performance of Michelin MX Series Touring Tires is the ultimate study aid for those seeking to graduate to a higher level of driving. To find a Michelin dealer near you, call 1-800-MICHELIN. Michelin, a better way forward.
To Office Depot today for incredible deals on great tools to start school. Now at Office Depot, two pocket paper portfolios are 10 for a dollar, and one subject wirebound notebooks are just 6 for 60 cents. And for all your qualified school supply purchases, Office Depot will give 5% back in credit to your child's school. So hurry into Office Depot for great back to school deals. Taking care of business at Office Depot. See store for details. While supplies last, quantities limited.
Now, what's so funny? It's time for another hour of the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm your humble host, Peter B., and this is the part I love the most. It's the Free Speed Zone, where we mix it up with you, the callers and listeners of the PBC show. We provide a toll-free line, which means we actually pay for the call. It's 888-5-PETER-B, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. There's lots to talk about. I want to know your reaction to the British breakup of the terror plot against the U.S., how much you believe and how much you think there's political hype involved. And we can talk about anything else that's on your mind. I enjoyed my conversation with Bennett Kelly in the last half hour about California politics. You want to talk about Phil Angelides and Governor Schwarzenegger?
Windmill.
Be my guest. We also talked about airline security. We talked about sea turtles, and I enjoyed that, too. And we talked about the way the media's been spinning the president's remarks and this terror plot. So it's all up for grabs this hour, and your calls and comments are welcome. You know the rules. You can call with any comment from any viewpoint from anywhere within the sound of my voice. And how about this spin? I just pulled up my Yahoo account to check email during the news break, and they put five news stories up there as headlines. Top stories, right? Number one top story, Hezbollah claims win as ceasefire holds. The number two story, Bush says Israel defeated Hezbollah. You have any thought about that? Personally, I'm not convinced that this ceasefire will hold for very long. There are so many caveats in it, and it appears to favor Israel in so many ways, that I think each side will use the exceptions that they have laid out. Hezbollah says that they'll honor this ceasefire as long as Israel starts to withdraw from Lebanon. And Israel has said they'll honor the ceasefire with exceptions. That if they're attacked, they will respond. And, you know, they appear to be planning to stay in position in southern Lebanon until the new force comes in. I'm also skeptical that it'll happen within 7 to 10 days. I'm skeptical of the ability of the Lebanese army to separate Israel and Hezbollah from combat. And while I'm encouraged that the ceasefire has been embraced with conditions, I think there's more fighting that will occur. And my fear is that civilians will return to some of these areas before a true ceasefire is established, or a durable one, as Condoleezza Rice likes to say. So that's what's on my mind, and I'd like to hear from you. Again, 888-5, Peter B. is the number. We got four lines open for you, so don't be shy. Come forward now. 888-573-8372. And let's see who's up here first. It's Steve in Watsonville. Good afternoon, Steve. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hey, Peter. About airline security, I encourage some creative button maker to produce lots of buttons which say, blame me for the searches, I voted for Ned Lamont, and distribute them to people in lines at airports.
That's a good one.
And, you know, for all their faults, Garamendi, Cruz, and the Brown brothers, Jerry and Willie, at least they're not dinos like Lieberman.
Well, I agree with that. I like John Garamendi. I don't like term limits. I don't like the game of musical chairs that it produces.
It's a California issue. You know, like, if only they term limit Lieberman out, we wouldn't have this problem.
Well, what you're talking about there, Steve, has been my dream all along. I believe in term limits for the people who I don't support.
Right.
I wanted term limits for Jesse Helms in the worst possible way.
I'd like a term limit on the Schwarzengroper yesterday.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be nice. All right, well, thanks for that idea. I like the idea of a Ned Lamont button, so pass that along.
Yeah, maybe somebody out there will actually come up with it.
All right, Steve, help me out here. Choose the news. Do you want to hear the spin from the Hezbollah side or the Bush side? He's stumped. The headlines read, Hezbollah claims win as ceasefire holds, or Bush says Israel defeated Hezbollah. Which one do you want to hear?
Oh, well, how about the option? This is, I mean, we are in Orwellian world, right?
Yeah, but I only gave you two choices.
How about both being right?
All right, then I'll read them both. Thank you, Steve.
Later.
Okay. 888-5 Peter B., if you'd like to join the conversation. Let's start off with W. I've clicked. The page is loading now. President Bush said today that Israel defeated Hezbollah's guerrillas in the month-long Mideast war and that the Islamic militants were to blame for the deaths of hundreds of Lebanese civilians. Bush admonished Iran and Syria for backing Hezbollah, which captured two Israeli soldiers on July 12th, igniting the conflict. Both sides claimed victory Monday, hours after a UN-brokered ceasefire took effect, while Bush said Israel prevailed. Hezbollah attacked Israel. Hezbollah started the crisis, and Hezbollah suffered a defeat in this crisis, the president said of the State Department, after a day of meetings with its top defense, diplomatic, and national security advisors. The U.S. backed Israel in the war, and Bush made clear he was determined to help the Israelis in the post-fighting struggle of words about who wound up on top. The president portrayed the war, which killed about 790 Lebanese and 155 Israelis, as part of a broader struggle between freedom and terrorism. He said one can only imagine how much more dangerous such a conflict would be if Iran possessed nuclear weapons. And Bush said Hezbollah lost, though Israel didn't knock out the guerrillas. So that's the Washington-Jerusalem spin. Now, if you'll wait here just a moment, we have to click back, and we'll pick up the Beirut spin from Nasrallah and Hezbollah. Dateline Beirut. Tens of thousands of Lebanese jammed bomb-cratered roads Monday as they returned to still-smoldering scenes of destructions after a tenuous ceasefire ended 34 days of vicious combat between Israel and Hezbollah. Lines of cars, some loaded with mattresses and luggage, snaked slowly around huge holes in the roads and ruined bridges. Hezbollah fighters hugged each other, and celebratory gunfire and fireworks erupted in Beirut when the Islamic militant group's leader, Sheikh Hassan Nasrallah, claimed a strategic, historic victory. Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Olmert, also claimed success, saying the offensive eliminated the state within a state run by Hezbollah, by the Hezbollah group, and restored Lebanon's sovereignty in the south. Gosh, I don't see how either of those is even remotely true. In northern Israel, residents emerged from bomb shelters hopeful that the barrage of nearly 4,000 Hezbollah rockets that had rained down on towns and villages since July 12th had ended for now. Stores shuttered for weeks reopened, and some people returned to the beaches in Haifa, which suffered most from the guerrilla attacks. So there you have the competing spin. And frankly, while I don't think Hezbollah prevailed militarily, I think they won the war of public opinion. And while it's clear that Israel delivered more damage to Lebanon than Hezbollah did to Israel, I think that the damage to the infrastructure, the bridges, and so much will linger on as a very painful reminder of what Israel did and will reinforce Hezbollah. This is the set of unintended consequences that I've been talking about since about July the 12th. Back to your calls now at 888-5-PETER-B. Lisa from Eureka. Nice to talk to you today. Hello, Lisa.
Hi, can you hear me?
I can hear you okay, yeah.
Okay, because I'm in a flat zone, so we might lose this call.
All right. Well, we're going to stay with you as long as we can. Go ahead.
Okay, I agree with you. And unfortunately, I don't believe there is a winner in this. Until such time as there is a true, honest-to-goodness ceasefire from both sides that lasts forever, there will be no winner. And it doesn't matter who started it. It doesn't matter anymore. It's been going since Israel became a state.
Well, I agree that it doesn't really matter who started it, because it does appear that Israel was prepared for this, and we're going to learn more over the next few days, but investigative reporter Robert Perry is, we've invited him on the show later this week, and he's published a piece that clearly suggests that the Bush administration encouraged Israel to take on Hezbollah as far back as April of this year. So it was not a simple provocation of the capture of those two Israeli soldiers and the deaths of a half dozen others on July the 12th.
Exactly. And that's the bottom line point. And that's what people need to realize. And I hear so much stuff about, you know, being anti-Semitic if you criticize Israel, or your aunt, whatever you are, if you don't like what the Hezbollah is doing. I hear so much bad talk about both sides. And really, when you think about the region, all they want to do is live in peace.
Well, I agree. I do understand that Israel feels that it has many enemies, and those enemies do use hot rhetoric, such as Ahmadinejad of Iran, who says he wants to wipe Israel off the map. I do take that as hyperbole, and I think that Israel needs to develop a bit of a thicker skin when it comes to the rhetoric.
I agree.
But I also respect that Hezbollah does pose a threat to the safety of Israelis.
But they wouldn't. The radicalism in any country can't exist without there being a reason for it.
Well,
the fanaticism
in any
sector.
Right.
Exist without a reason.
And Lisa, the occupation of Palestine and Gaza, and the some 14,000 Lebanese and Gazans, Palestinians, who are jailed by Israel, many without trial, without ever really being charged, those are problems that underlie this conflict.
Exactly.
And Israel's not willing to address those, at least not so far, and it will be interesting to see if there is any sort of prisoner exchange that surfaces out of this, because I think that's what will lead to the kind of durable peace that Condi Rice has talked about. Lisa, I got to take a break. Thanks for your call. Your cell phone made it through that tough zone.
Yeah.
We'll take more calls in just a moment, so get on the line and share your thoughts at 888-5-PETER-B. 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372. I'm Peter B. Collins.
KRXA 540. Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Well, Mr. Tomato, how are you looking to make the most of your career in entertainment?
Well, I'm locally grown and people love me. But now that the Monterey County Fair has this countywide chili cook-off and salsa contest, I don't know. I've heard that great chili and salsa sing, so I've been practicing. Listen, one ton tomato, I'd be a one ton tomato.
It's one ton tomato. Besides, the Monterey County Fair doesn't need you to sing. They've got great musical entertainment. Monterey County Fair welcomes the public from August 15th to the 20th. Visit www.montereycountyfair.com.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares. It's Behind the Wheel, the Consumer New Car Review. I'm Peter B. Collins. This week, I've been behind the wheel of the 2006 Volkswagen Passat 2.0, an impressive four-door sedan. The Passat is well-engineered and performs very well. At first, I thought my demo had a six-cylinder engine because it's so zippy. But it's a 2-liter fuel-injected four-cylinder engine with a nicely tuned six-speed manual transmission. Great traction, great handling, smooth suspension. The Passat is a great value, gets good mileage, and it's roomy for five passengers and sizable cargo in the trunk. I do have one objection. The parking brake doesn't have a pedal or hand grip. It's an electronic switch. And with the stick, this makes it hard to let the brake off and put the car in gear, especially uphill from a standing start. By the numbers, the 2006 VW Passat 2.0 gets 23 miles to the gallon in the city, 32 on the highway, and stickers in California for about $25,000.
Parents, do you need cash for college? This year, more than $100 billion is available for financial aid. Let AboutCollegeFunding.com help you navigate the complicated process to accessing your share of these funds. AboutCollegeFunding.com is now offering free one-hour consultations for parents in need of answers. To schedule your free one-hour consultation with RJ Moyer, call 1-888-337-9775. That's 1-888-337-9775.
Remember, the early bird gets the cash.
Good afternoon. I'm Larry Olson on KRXA 540 Gilroy South 101 at 10th Street, the Pacheco Pass Highway exit. Two-car crash. That's clearing on the right shoulder. It's been with us for about 40 minutes now. Greenfield, good news to report from this earlier crash. South 101 at Oak, major injury crash in its final clearing stages. Emergency crews are still on the scene. In fact, at one point they had to land two different life flight helicopters here. That's South 101 at Oak Avenue. Watsonville Vega at Ridge Crest, injury crash. A car hit a tree. Emergency crews are on the scene. That's Vega at Ridgecrest. Preparation H Cream relieves burning, itching, and also gives you maximum strength pain relief on contact. It's the most complete Preparation H relief ever. I'm Larry Olson with traffic on KRXA 540.
It's 22 after the hour. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show, and we're in the free speech zone, and nobody is here to use their free speech rights. Oh, no worries. I got plenty of opinions and not too shy about sharing them with you. But if you'd like to converse or argue or just make a point, grab a line right now. It's toll free, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. You got it? You can also email me, Peter at PeterBCollins.com. The website's under construction.
This ain't no technological breakdown.
But the email works.
Oh no, this is the road to hell.
Well, in the preceding segment, I gave you the dueling spin from President Bush and from Hezbollah, both claiming that, Hezbollah claims it's the victor, and Bush claiming Israel is the victor. And here's a guy, I didn't ask for an opinion, but he sent it to me, and he said, please air my comment. And because he said please, I'm going to read this to you. It's from Alan Greer, and I don't know where he's located. Israel was the one who won this current conflict. Since Israel has achieved its objectives, there are some who would claim that by not gaining the release of the two captured soldiers who had sparked the entire conflict, or that Israel could not crush Hezbollah, then it didn't achieve its objectives. But in reality, Israel's sole objectives, of the invasion of Lebanon were to rid its northern border, South Lebanon, of Hezbollah presence and get the Lebanese army, which Hezbollah always vowed in the past 6 years to never allow, to deploy there instead, and also end the arms shipment to Hezbollah.
The two kidnapped soldiers was the excuse, Israel used to enter southern Lebanon in order to distance Hezbollah from its borders and replace them with Lebanese army and get a final solution to the arms shipment to Hezbollah from Iran and Syria. To crush or eliminate a terrorist group is against the laws of physics, since it's a given to every logical person that a terrorist group cannot be disarmed or destroyed. Well, that's the lucid point of this missive. He goes on. The UN draft now calls for installing international monitors to monitor the Lebanese-Syrian border as well. Hezbollah lost! So basically, after Hezbollah was so eager for a ceasefire, they received it, and they ended up with even less than what they had started with before the kidnappings of the two soldiers. And Hezbollah would never dare attack Israel and kidnap soldiers unprovokingly. Therefore, Israel was able to reestablish its deterrence once again as well. Well, Alan, I read your comment. I don't find it terribly coherent or persuasive. And I don't see how you say that Hezbollah lost, because in my view, Sheikh Nasrallah has been enshrined as the man who defended the soil of Lebanon from the Israeli attacks. And while you can point to the asymmetric nature of the losses, Lebanese losses are 7-1 greater than Israel in terms of human life, and in terms of property and infrastructure, clearly Lebanon lost the most. But that's not necessarily how it's measured in the Hezbollah scorebook. And so Hezbollah still has thousands of missiles. They didn't unleash their most powerful, longest-range missiles. And while the peacekeeping force may be able to reduce the level of violence there, it's not going to be able to disarm Hezbollah. That job was not completed. And so Israel can claim victory here. But frankly, I don't see it. Let's talk to Dave in the Pinnacles. Hello, Dave. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Well, hi, Peter. Hey, Peter, I just kind of flashed on the aspect that, you know, it seems like we're always approaching this problem as two cultures vying for the same resources. And if we kind of turn it into a symbiotic relationship where each side needs the other side, maybe we could solve our problem. Like I was flashing on the physical aspect, what if we had desal plants and brought a whole bunch of water to Gaza and started nurturing the place and growing a whole bunch of food and making an economically viable base so that the people can have some income.
Well, there are a lot of prisons that have gardens. I think that's an interesting idea.
Well, that's one thing. We got to turn it into not a prison, but self-determination. But in the same aspect, that what I'm saying is that we have to make it so that each side needs the other side.
Right. Well, and I agree, that is the point we want to get to. The problem is that we're in neener land right now.
Exactly.
And each side is pointing at the other, saying, we're doing this because you did that. And as long as you continue to do that, we're going to keep doing this.
Exactly. And it's been this way for a long time. And like when, you know, we had the ambassador from Palestine come to town and give a talk here in Monterey, and there was a little ditty in the paper about it. And he made the comment that the problem could never be solved without outside intervention. And if you look at the historical scope of the place, the region has been inundated with foreign intervention. I mean, for thousands of years, it's been inundated with foreign intervention.
Well, I think it's going to be very interesting to see who pays for the rebuilding of Lebanon. Because if it comes from Iran and Saudi Arabia and Egypt, it will tend to reinforce the strength of Hezbollah. And if it comes from the West, if we made a significant effort to support true democracy in Lebanon, we could, I believe, create incentives for Hezbollah to become much more political and much less military. But at the moment, it doesn't appear that that's even within the mindset of the Bush administration.
No, in fact, it's already being reported on the news that Iran is coming, putting some money up front to rebuild.
All right. Thank you, Dave. I got to run to a break. More of your calls coming up next. 888-5 Peter B is the number.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop. For whatever legal advice you need, go to Lawyers on Duty. Whether it's for your estate planning, divorce, custody, probate, or a living trust, Lawyers on Duty has experienced attorneys with realistic fees. There's no need to go anywhere else. At Lawyers on Duty, they're available, knowledgeable, and affordable. Located in the courtyard behind Rosine's on Alvarado Street, Monterey. Lawyers on Duty open every weekday 9 to 5. Call Lawyers on Duty 375-5100. 375-5100. Alan Kaplan, owner.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has three locations to serve you better wherever you live. All three locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service full service.
We at KRXA want to thank you for your support of our advertisers. Together, we're working as a community to help take America back. Keep thinking outside the box and call us with any ideas and comments anytime. Tell your friends about KRXA, and together, we'll help change the direction of this great nation. Working as a team, we're making a difference, and it's needed now more than ever. I'm Sheila Gale. Thank you for listening to Progressive Talk, AM 540, KRXA.
And the Peter B. Collins Show continues now. What do you say we trundle on down to Texas? There is a new and improved Camp Casey.
Warm winds blowing.
This summer in Crawford, Texas.
Eating blue skies.
Cindy Sheehan decided to buy a little property.
And a room.
And this year there have been far fewer problems with the sheriff there. As protesters have arrived to greet the president on his vacation, and he shortened his vacation this year, some people speculate it's because of the midterm elections in November and the need to spread fear all over the country. But it could be that he just wanted to avoid contact with Cindy Sheehan and the fine folks who have assembled there with her. Joining us now for a live report from Camp Casey in Crawford, Texas, is Bill Moyer. He's the head of the Seattle-based Backbone Campaign. And, Bill, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Well, thank you very much for the honor and that opportunity.
Well, you earned it because I was in Washington, D.C. when the chain gang came through at the Take Back America conference, and I was very impressed with the caricatures that you've created.
Well, thank you. I have to credit the artists Claire Dona and Bill Jarko for executing a great, executing the vision.
So describe the chain gang for our radio listeners. After all, we don't have the benefit of pictures here.
Well, of course, people could go to bushchaingang.org to see pictures. But the chain gang is a group of characters, Condoleezza Rice, Dick Cheney, George Bush, and Donald Rumsfeld.
Mm-hmm.
And in caricature form, large papier-mâché heads that people wear as the masks, along with a white and black striped prison uniforms and shackles and a cartoonish shackled chain.
Right. So you move together as a shackled group.
That's right. This is a one of the projects of the Backbone Campaign, and it's we're calling it the Bush Chain Gang Work Release Tour. And our effort is to promote accountability in defense of the Constitution as an indispensable part of a positive, progressive vision for the country.
Now, hold on a minute, Bill, because that sounds like creeping Republicanism. They own the concept of personal responsibility and accountability. Didn't you know that?
Well, I haven't seen very much accountability. I've seen a lot of stonewalling in committees for every damn bill that asks for any investigation or release of documents.
Well, Bill, that's the power of personal property. When you own something, you don't have to put it out there for everybody to see.
Of, by, and for the people is what this country is all about. And for our Constitution, we're not going to have a country that's we're not going to have our country anymore.
But, Bill, this president told us the Constitution's just a GD piece of paper.
Yeah, it's kind of obsolete. You know, it was written hundreds of years ago, right?
It's quaint. I mean, those guys, they wrote it out in longhand and scribbled their signatures there. What the hell's that mean today?
Yeah, what's life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness, for God's sakes, when we can have greed and fear and the pursuit of the invisible enemy?
Now, Bill Moyer, the chain gang is there in Crawford. Have you gone public and gone in to have a burger in town?
Well, actually, we've done some photo shoots out by the Welcome to Crawford sign, which was a lot of fun today, a couple of times. And so we're doing our best to be as visible as possible here in town.
What kind of reaction do you get from real Texans?
Well, we've got a lot of real Texans who are here participating at the camp Casey, and there were some real Texans who pulled over on the side of the road and took a picture. You know, there's a negative reaction as well, but I certainly prefer somebody yelling at me or flipping me off than me sitting in frustration just yelling at my radio.
Well, I don't yell at the radio. I do it at the TV.
No, I don't get to watch too much.
That's my nightly venting act. Go ahead, Bill.
Yeah. Well, I just wanted to emphasize that we're not an impeachment organization, actually. We're a movement-building organization. And we just truly believe that defense of the Constitution is a prerequisite for all of the other things that we desire as a progressive movement, and that we must defend that Constitution, and we can't allow our political leaders to consider impeachment as a negotiable tool. If that's for Nancy Pelosi to decide, it's for the American people to, it's for the Constitution to decide.
Mm-hmm.
If laws are violated, we need accountability.
Yeah, I'm disappointed that Pelosi has attempted to take impeachment off the table as linked to the November elections. I like the way ImpeachPact.org has framed it, which is that we want to work for impeachment by changing the Congress. Because everyone's realistic, we know that under one-party rule, impeachment can't go forward. Even with the creative efforts from municipalities, we have ballot measures in Berkeley and in San Francisco this fall. All of that helps incrementally, but it doesn't have a legal impact unless John Conyers becomes head of the House Judiciary Committee. And I do understand the reasons why Pelosi has ducked it. She's trying not to give Karl Rove any additional ammunition. However, I think you can frame it properly by saying we want accountability. We want to undo the damage that the wrecking crew has done to years of progressive legislation. And if that leads to impeachment, so be it.
So be it. And just because we had in the last, when Clinton was being impeached, people are from the progressive movement have various positions on whether that should have happened or not. It certainly didn't happen for, instances with an intern. But just it was clearly being used as a political ploy by the Republicans. That doesn't mean that the way we're using it is a political ploy.
Mm-hmm.
In the most patriotic of ways, in service of preserving the foundational principles of our country.
We're talking with Bill Moyer, no S. He's with the Backbone Campaign there at Camp Casey in Crawford, Texas. Give us a quick update on Cindy. I understand she went into the hospital for dehydration and maybe a little minor problem. Is she back on scene there?
Well, I believe that she's going to be at an event this evening. I'm sure that everybody is, everybody here is sending her their good wishes and not desiring her to strain herself anymore at all. You know,
yeah.
We want her to be healthy and happy and ready to continue the good fight.
Well, she's been on a fast, just fluids and some fruit juice, I think, since July the 4th. So it does take a toll. There's no question about it. Well, Bill, I want to thank you for your activism. Thank you for joining us here today. Again, people can find the website backbonecampaign.org. Is that right?
That's right. And we'd invite people to go there, check out the Chain Gang page, get a T-shirt, support the work release tour, contact us, and get the Chain Gang to come to your town or city. And then, and there's some great progressives in Texas. So let's support them. People like David Van Oss running for Attorney General. We're excited about Texas, and there are a lot of great people here. So we've enjoyed ourselves.
All right, Bill, thank you very much for the live report.
Thank you very much for the opportunity.
You bet. That's Bill Moyer in Crawford, Texas, at the new Camp Casey with the Backbone Campaign's Chain Gang. And it's a great image. I really give them credit for political theater. And sometimes that's a very appropriate way to express yourself. Another way you can express yourself is here in the Free Speech Zone. I've got lines available, and it's kind of a slow summer Monday. So if you'd like to join us, it'll be a short wait on hold. 888-5-PETER-B is the number. 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372. Next, we go to Cindy in Monterey. Hello, Cindy.
Hello, Peter.
Thanks for holding on.
No problem. I hope I'm not the only one that doesn't see this Lebanon-Israel conflict. I don't see it as warfare at all. I see it as collateral damage and genocide. I just don't get how they can call it warfare when the soldiers don't fight the soldiers.
That's an interesting point. It is a kind of remote.
What honor are we fighting for?
Well, it's a kind of remote control engagement. It's a video game with real consequences, and Israel, largely operated from the air, which allows them to cause a lot of damage.
So what honor are we fighting for?
I can't answer that, Cindy, because I don't find any real honor either.
So I'm not the only one.
In the underlying conflict,
collateral damage is some sort of bizarre spin on genocide.
Well, I also don't think that it is justifiable to support Israel's incredible bombardment of Lebanon. Certainly, I can support their strategic use of bombs and missiles to try to take out specific Hezbollah rocket launcher
sites. But, Peter,
sites.
It never goes that way. There's always some bizarre accident that they're so dreadfully sorry that some children got in the way and some innocent civilians got in the way. I've had it. I don't want to hear about collateral damage anymore. Call it what it is. It's genocide. This isn't warfare. This is genocide. They're not soldiers fighting soldiers in an honorable way for some honorable platitude or theology or anything. This is premeditated murder. I am so sick of it. I just don't even know what to say, but I just have to go on record. It's not warfare. It's genocide.
Okay. You made
Thank
a good
you.
Point. Thanks
right.
for your call today. She obviously feels very strongly, and I can't really refute the point. If you'd like to, feel free to give us a call at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-5-PETER-B. Let's go to our break now, and then there'll be room for more of your calls in our final segment. So grab a line and let's talk. 888-5-PETER-B or email peter at peterbcollins.com. We'll continue in a moment. It's 44 minutes past the hour on the Peter B. Collins Show. Listening to KRXA 540.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet radio show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and fun in the Monterey Bay area. I interview authors, winemakers, chefs, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make Monterey and our region such a delicious slice of our tasty planet. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. for tasty news shows, or visit the Tasty Planet on the web by going to www.tastyplanet.org. Listen in and have a good appetite.
Did you hear the show When God Called?
Being an atheist myself, having God calling yesterday was a really big blow to all of us.
I think I can go out and say another case of a person's life being changed courtesy of the show and KRXA Radio.
Yeah. Thanks, guys.
The show, weekday mornings, 9 to 10 on KRXA 540.
Hello, I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with the top vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey in the old Granary building, just two blocks from the aquarium. Or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
Good afternoon. I'm Larry Olson on KRXA 540 with traffic. Castroville Blackie at Castro Street. Accident, a couple of cars clipping on the right shoulder. Salinas Highway 183 at Espinosa. Two cars partially blocking some lanes there. Castroville Highway 1 at Moss Landing Road. Injury crash reportedly blocking a couple of lanes. Two cars involved. One car flipped over and landed on its wheels. That's Highway 1 at Castroville, the Mossdale Landing exit. South 101 at 146. A large metal object clearing out of the left lane. Football is back and better than ever with NFL opening kickoff presented by Sprint. It all starts Thursday, September 7th at 8 p.m. on NBC, sponsored in part by GM. I'm Larry Olson with traffic on KRXA 540.
Peter B. Collins Show continues. We're into the home stretch here, our final segment of the day. And there's still room for a call or two if you'd like to join us at 888-5-PETER-B, toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B. And my stupendous producer, Matt Renner, who is sequestered behind the soundproof cubicle walls just across from me, emailed me a link here to a story from The Independent in Britain that you can read at rawstory.com if you're so inclined. And it reads this way. Ehud Olmert, the Israeli prime minister, was obliged to admit shortcomings in the 34-day-old conflict in Lebanon yesterday as he launched what may prove a protracted fight for his own political survival. Olmert's admission came in a stormy Knesset session in the face of devastating poll figures showing a majority of the Israeli public believes none or only a very small part of the goals of the war had been achieved. Adding insult to injury, the leader of Hezbollah, Sheikh Nasrallah, has been crowing on television that his guerrillas had achieved a strategic, historic victory over Israel. The prime minister was repeatedly heckled by opposition MPs during his address, and he insisted the international commitments in Friday night's UN resolution would change fundamentally the balance of forces in the country's northern border. But facing his first major political crisis since winning the election 5 months ago, he acknowledged the overall responsibility for this operation lies with me, the prime minister. So that's a very interesting take, as we've been discussing this hour. We have Bush saying Israel won, we have Hezbollah saying it won, and Israel saying they didn't win. Go figure. Next up, we go to Dave in Humboldt. Hello, Dave. You're on the Peter B. Show. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Peter. I am so suspicious of everything that comes at us out of these cons, this White House, that I look upon everything now with a grave reservation. I'm inclined to think this latest terrorist threat coming at us out of England is 97.5% fabricated, that these people were nowhere near in a position to pose any kind of a threat. But they thought it was something that they could use to do their little be afraid, be very afraid, Bush is here to protect you, and that little routine.
Well, let me parse it just a little differently. I'm not really disagreeing with you. It's just on the term fabricated. I think that the overall threat was hyped, and I believe that Bush did pull the trigger, so to speak, on exposing this plot before the British were ready, and that it may have compromised their ability to further investigate the individuals, two dozen Pakistani British citizens of Pakistani origin. So I think the real issue here that Americans have to keep focused on is not that the whole thing is bogus. I think there, you know, probably was some sort of a plot in the making. But we have seen repeatedly that this administration tries to take political advantage of these kinds of developments, and that they have hyped other threats that, in short order, were revealed to be minor at best.
Yeah, well, when I look into the mind and hearts of Rove and Cheney, I think that this, believe none of it. Nothing you're hearing that's coming at you from them. They are there to mislead us, to deceive us, so they can rip us off like they ripped off the whole country by stealing an election. So,
well, Bob Herbert agrees with you. Let me read a couple of lines here from his op-ed today in the Times, Dave. He said, "Here we go again. I wonder if Americans will continue to fall for the political exploitation of their fears of terrorism, or if voters will begin to show some awareness of the fact that they have been cynically manipulated and that our current policies have been disastrously counterproductive."
Well, you found one of the great minds out there.
Yeah. Well, Krugman had a great column today, too. If there's time, I'll lift a couple of lines from that one. Thank you, Dave.
Thank you, Peter.
All right. Xavier in Santa Cruz. Hello, Xavier. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, Peter.
Hi.
Yeah, one of the things that I wanted to bring up is the definition of a terrorist. I think they bring up it if you're killing innocent civilians, then you're considered a terrorist. One of the other things I throw in there is whether or not you're a recognized state. And I think that second qualification should be gotten rid of because, you know, Israel, I think, could be considered a terrorist. You know, terrorist state. They commit terrorism. They a lot of times. And the United States, another example. We're you know, our government is terrorist, I think. But what happens is, like this, when we did shock and awe against Iraq. You know, that was designed to, that, and obviously, innocent civilians got killed.
Right. And we wanted to terrorize the entire population.
Yeah, and what Israel said is that that the Lebanese didn't go after Hezbollah and purge them from it internally. And so, you know, they're paying the price. I think that they're actually targeting, you know, they might lie and say we're, you know, trying to focus on military targets, but I don't believe that. And I think that one of the things that, you know, would be telling is if we were to just go to Hezbollah and say, look, we'll swap out your Katyusha rockets one for one. We'll give you five of them, and if you target military installations and avoid civilians, then we'll give you some more, and we'll swap out your old Katyushas for these. I don't know if it'll fly, but that was...
But you've got the germ of an interesting idea there, and that is that the United Nations, a consortium of countries... it shouldn't be just the United States, but if countries went to Lebanon and said, we'll rebuild a bridge for every 10 rockets that Hezbollah gives up unfired, and presuming that you can maintain the cutoff of supply lines, resupply lines, that Israel claims they have imposed, that could be an interesting way. As I said a little earlier, we need to come up with incentives that would lead Hezbollah to say, our future is in the political process as part of the Lebanese government. And it's not going to be easy to get from here to there. And I don't want to, you know, mislead anybody or soft sell it or blue sky it. But I think ultimately you need to broker deals where Israel says we're planning to end our occupation and we want to, you know, withdraw to inside our own borders and live peacefully. And, you know, third parties need to come forward and assist the Palestinians and the Lebanese in rebuilding and in developing an approach that doesn't threaten Israel.
Yeah.
And, you know, part of that has to be repatriation of prisoners. The Hamas members of the Palestinian parliament who've been detained since early July by Israel, you know, I call that kidnapping. That's what they've done to them. Yet Israel only recognizes kidnapping when they consider themselves to be the victims of it.
Yeah, exactly. I think all those soldiers that were, you know, taken, the Lebanese soldiers that were, I mean, that's, you know, a lot of times people will say that Lebanon provoked this because they kidnapped these two soldiers, but actually there was, Israel had a bunch of soldiers that they were supposed to return, and they didn't return some of them. And this is an ongoing thing. You can't just, like, jump in the middle and, you know, bring up that point. I think one of the things that you said also was that you said that Hezbollah, try to encourage them to be more of a political and less of a military thing. I think it's important. People like Bush are just saying, get rid of Hezbollah, but that's what the people look for.
Well, you also have to permit the Lebanese government and its army to beef up. I mean, all they've got is helicopters and troops right now. They don't even have any tanks or any long-range missiles or cannons, you know, artillery. So to ask them to disarm a better-armed element of their own country is highly unrealistic.
What about this, Peter? If you were to take the Lebanese, the Hezbollah combatants, or whatever you want to call them, and just give them kind of a loyalty oath. It's like, you Hezbollah that want to push Israel into the sea, you guys don't get to be part of our army. But the other Hezbollah, the rest of them, who are just, we want to protect our country, just include them, take their hardware, and just include that in the state. What do you think of that?
Well, possible. It's hard to enforce an oath like that, and you know, in some ways it would be an invitation for them to burrow in.
Yeah.
The way we've seen Muqtada al-Sadr's people burrow into the police and military in Iraq.
Yeah.
And so, you know, nice idea. It's just it's a hard one to implement.
Yeah, I'm a bit of an idealist sometimes. All right, well, thanks, Peter.
Okay, Xavier, thank you. Paul Krugman has a great column in today's New York Times. I only have a minute remaining here, but he talks about the use of fear, and he wrote that shortly after 9/11, he published a column warning that politicians who wrap themselves in the flag while relentlessly pursuing their usual partisan agenda are not true patriots. And he goes on to describe the current situation. The latest terror plot reminds him of the administration's fecklessness and cynicism on terrorism, and it puts them in relief clearer than ever. So if you have a chance, read Bob Herbert and Paul Krugman in today's New York Times on the op-ed piece. page. Well, I want to thank you for joining me for an excellent program today. Why don't we do it again tomorrow? We'll be back at you, same time, same stations. And I appreciate you joining us here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Visit our website. It's under construction, peterbcollins.com.
Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you. Keep smiling until then. Who cares about the clouds if we're together?
Hey, it's Sheila Gale. At a new time, Reality Radio can now be heard every Saturday afternoon from 4 to 5. So keep it right here, AM 540, for extraordinary progressive talk. Number one in Reality Radio, with me, Sheila Gale. There's nothing we won't talk about. See us Saturday, 4 to 5, Reality Radio, right here on AM 540 KRXA. Would you like to be part of the conversation that might not only inspire your golf game, but have you thinking differently about sports, about learning, and about performance? Join golf pro and best-selling author Fred Shoemaker on KRXA 540 Saturday mornings at 8 a.m. for Extraordinary Golf, some uncommon conversations about golf, and maybe even a little beyond golf. Extraordinary Golf, Saturday mornings on KRXA 540 at 8 a.m.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. The ceasefire, for the most part, seems to be holding, but now there's a war of words over who won and who lost in Lebanon.
Hezbollah suffered a defeat in this crisis.
President Bush today joined Prime Minister Ehud Olmert in claiming victory for Israel, but Hezbollah leader Hassan Nasrallah insists his side won. In a speech televised today, he claimed a strategic, historic victory over Israel. CBS News correspondent Robert Berger in Jerusalem says Israeli public opinion is lukewarm.
Israelis feel that they definitely did not win this war. They see it more as a draw because Israel did not achieve its goal of disarming Hezbollah and destroying Hezbollah after a month of war. So basically, as far as the Israelis are concerned, the Israeli public, they think that Hezbollah got away and will be back to fight another day.
A few hours ago, the Israeli military says Hezbollah fired at least 10 Katyusha rockets in southern Lebanon, but none crossed the border and there are no reports of injuries. CBS News has learned more arrests are likely in the airliner bombing plot as investigators follow the money trail. Correspondent Sheila McVicker in London reports some of the funding for the terrorist conspiracy was apparently pilfered from donations to Pakistani earthquake relief last year.
Community leaders say that some of these young men traveled to Pakistan ostensibly to help out after the earthquake. Investigators believe they also attended militant training camps there.
Three men under arrest in Pakistan are charged with sending laundered money to the plotters in Britain. Nearly 400 soldiers thought they were home free after a long tour of duty in Iraq, but now 300 of them have been ordered back for as long as 4 months to help beef up security in Baghdad. Phil Boyce is an Army spokesman at Fort Wainwright, Alaska, where the troops are based.
There have been previous precedents for units like this that have been extended. What is somewhat unusual here is that in the process of the extension, a number of soldiers, 378, had already returned.
They were the first of their 3,900-member unit to get home. Most of the troops were still in Iraq when their orders were changed. Victims of Hurricane Katrina living in FEMA trailers might not be as secure as they thought they were. WWL Radio's Dave Cohen has the story.
FEMA says the keys that open one FEMA trailer may open as many as 50 more. They say it's a security risk and one they're going to act on. They're going to be replacing the locks on as many as